radio.com.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute, free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Roll call, sound off. We are here for you. That's right, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Coming up this hour on Bucket Strategy Investing, we've got our in-house brain trust advisor, the aforementioned Professor Rick Plum, certified financial planner, back with me once again to answer your money questions. Rick here from Lucia Capital Group. We'll get into this hour's strategy session in just a couple of moments here. Going to have a couple of leftover topics from the sale of a home last hour, but also 401k loans and all that kind of stuff. This session, it also includes your emails from this hour and from last hour, and of course your phone calls, which we're going to take first. We got some folks on hold. Keep it right here. We got more of the information you need to know about your money and your money strategies. So I said those emails, send them to us here at wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link there at the top, upper right part of the page at wealthed.com. Your money questions are invited. They're encouraged. They're welcome. And you call us because we'll take the phone calls first, 877-PLANNER. Our number here in the studio, PLANNER. You can get in touch with the Brain Trust off the air if you prefer to do it that way. You need a personalized buckets plan? Sure you do. The Brain Trust, they'll put one together for you at Lucia Capital Group. You call Professor Plum or any of the Brain Trust advisors on their off-air number, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment with the Brain Trust advisor. Talk to the advisors about your retirement. This is why we're here for you. We're here to help you out. 800-644-1150. That's off the air, on the air. Our number, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Got a couple folks on hold, so we're going to take calls immediately here. Let's see. We're going to go to Tien, I think it is, up first. Hello, Tien.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have some questions about capital gain on the property that I live in, but it's not in my name. It's been a quick claim to me that I've been, I haven't recorded yet. So I don't know how would I do that?
Well, so you don't actually own it yet. The quick claim has not been recorded, so you're not the owner until it gets recorded, really.
But can I sell it and then I record it now and then sell it without paying capital gain, or I have to be wait until I record it officially? It's been notarized and everything.
Right, but you haven't actually transferred title. So the title's not in your name. And to get the exclusion on the home, the title has to be in your name for 24 months, and you have to live in it for 24 months, not concurrently.
Yeah, I live in it, but I've not recorded. And I've been
technically, you live in it, but you don't own it.
Even though it's not recorded, I mean...
Who's paying the property tax? Who's taking the property tax? Are you taking the property tax deduction?
Well, originally, it was me and my cousin. I co-signed it to... It co-signed for me, and I've been paying mortgage ever since.
So the mortgage is in your name?
No, not my name. No.
The mortgage is not in your name.
You're paying the mortgage.
And so whose name is on the property title as far as who is paying the property taxes? Not you.
But the title is on my cousin's name.
Right, so basically you're making a gift, or you're actually renting it from your cousin because he's responsible for the property tax. He's responsible for the mortgage. His name is on the mortgage. His name is on the property tax bill. He's the owner of the property. Record it. Record it. Live in it for, you know, own it for another 24 months, and then you can exclude up to $250,000.
So I thought it was, even though it's not recorded, it's been notarized. I cannot.
Who are they going to come after? Who are they going to come after for if the mortgage payment is not made? Who are they going to come after if the property taxes are not paid? You?
Okay.
Or him? Right now, you have a piece of paper that the county knows nothing about. The state knows nothing about.
Okay.
Yeah. So in other words, he's the one who's on the hook for both property taxes and mortgage, even though you're the one that's been paying it. In essence, you're either gifting it, or as Professor Plum said, you're probably more accurately renting it.
Now, what did he pay for the property originally?
Pardon me?
Now, did you and he buy the property at the same time? I mean, he just put it all in his name, though?
No. At the same time, me and him both got to buy the property, and then quick claim to him, and then another quick claim back to me.
So you guys bought it. You changed your ownership from you to him, so he owned 100% of it, and then now he's giving it over to you so that ultimately you'll own 100% of it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but it's not recorded.
I know it's not recorded. How much did you guys pay for it originally?
$100,000.
How much is it worth now?
About $300,000.
So a nice gain. It would be nice to – and when do you want to sell it? Like, you want to sell it, like, next week?
Probably in a couple more months. Yeah, after I build another home, I move over.
And what date is on the deed?
The deed on me,
what date?
About 2 years ago. Yeah, about three years ago. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can try it, get it recorded, and see if they'll record it as of that previous date. But what happened?
I see.
What happens though is when you record the loan, or record the deed, the people that own the loan. Your cousin is on the loan, right?
Yes.
They're going to want to get paid, so you're going to have to sell it pretty quick at that point, or refinance it.
I see.
Change of ownership.
So the quitclaim deed is not recorded, but it's been 2 years ago.
So try to get it recorded and see if they'll record. This is where I don't know the fine print of this.
They'd have to be willing to go back and do it from a couple of years ago, right?
Because technically you don't own it yet. Because, yes, you have a deed. But that deed means nothing. I mean, if it got burned up right now, there's no proof that the transfer ever occurred. If that deed ripped up, got wet, there's absolutely no proof. If, heaven forbid you're driving down the road and you lose that deed and it gets ripped up, you can't just say, well, I own this property, so I'm selling it. Nobody will ever buy it from you. They'd have to have your cousin sign for everything all over again. I think you have to get it recorded.
Okay. So they record it, do they go by the same the original day, or they just record this day that we caught it? But technically that it's been 2 years I haven't recorded yet.
Probably have to find out by doing it.
You're going to have to find out. I don't know the answer. My guess is they record it the day they get it. But I don't know.
I see.
I don't know that answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, Tien. Thank you.
One last question, Tien.
Are you
still with
there?
Us?
Yeah.
Why didn't you record it 2 years ago?
I just didn't have a chance to do it yet. That's all.
Okay. 2 years. Okay.
Well, now
see if it hurts.
Yeah. If you find out, let us know. I'd kind of like to know myself, Tien. All right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I say, the quick claim has been 2 years ago. I haven't recorded. That's your.
Yeah.
I've been paying property, mortgage, and everything on my name. I have track record. I've been paying all since.
But you haven't been able to take the deductions or anything.
Legally, you're not supposed to take the deduction because it's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, you're a nice guy anyway.
Okay. I'll let you know.
Please do. All right. Thank you, Tien. I appreciate the call. You bet. Okay. So for those who just tuned in, he's doing what's called a quit claim or attempting to do a quit claim deed.
Right. A quit claim deed is I'm just saying I'm giving up my rights in the ownership and I'm giving it over to John Dean, whoever I quit claim the deed over to. Actually, there's no guarantee that I even own the property that I'm quit claiming. That would be more of a warranty deed, but it's just me saying I'm transferring the property over to somebody else.
And it's his cousin, I guess?
It's his cousin.
He had bought it with, or...
They bought it together.
Yeah.
He transferred it to his cousin's name 100% some time ago, and then the cousin is transferring it back to his name 2 years ago. My guess is they didn't want to have to redo the loan. Because the loan is only in the cousin's name.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
All right.
But now they want to sell it, and he wants to exclude the issue. But the problem is it's been more than two. Heck, the cousin should sell it in his name, and exclude the gain, and then just give,
and then just give him the cash, and then he could buy the...
Yeah, have the cousin sell it. You know, rip up this one. It depends on whether the cousins live there or not, though. He may not have lived there.
Oh, that's true. Well, we don't know that. All right. Well, boy. Oh. You know, this creates a lot of issues. But once again, we're trying to fit in the use test. There's a use test and an ownership test.
The use test is I have to be using it as my primary residence. I'm registered to vote there. I file my taxes there. My cars are registered there.
Which our caller Tien was doing in this particular home.
And I have to own it. That's the key. Does a signed quit claim that has never been recorded constitute ownership? I'm siding on the side that says no, but I don't know the technical legal answer on that.
Worst that happens is what? He quit claims it over to Tien, our caller.
Uh-huh.
And then Tien lives in it for another, or no,
just
he
owns,
owns
it for
it
another
for a couple
2 years.
He doesn't have to live in it. He just owns it for a couple more years.
And then sells it.
Goes ahead and sells it. To me, that might be the easiest solution, although it doesn't mean that they can't sell it like next week or 2-3 months like he said he wanted to do.
So talk to the escrow people. The people that actually sell houses, they'll be able to tell you how it works.
Yeah, and by the way, if they're willing to do it, you know, hey, so much the better. I just don't know that they are willing to do it. So, okay, thank you for the call. 877-PLANNER. We got a couple more things to say about primary residences and selling homes and all that stuff. Kind of our topic last hour. We got to take a break here, but we're going to come back and talk more about that. We got some emails to get to as well. A couple of questions we had from the last couple of days regarding 401k loans. If I have time, I'm going to get into that with Professor Plum. Again, a couple of emails that we're going to cover when we come back. But your phone calls always come first. And that's what I would encourage, because right now we've got four lines open. Give us a call with your money questions. A Brain Trust standing by. Our phone number, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group. Coming right back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
If you're investing in the stock market, you know there may be reward, but you know there will be risk. So consider this. Would you sacrifice some of the gain you may get with your investments if you could potentially reduce some of the risk and potentially cut some of your losses? If you answered yes, you need to learn about a risk buffer strategy. With a risk buffer strategy, an insurance company insures your investment for a certain percentage of loss over a given period of time, and you determine the level of protection you get. Watch a short video at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. That explains how you can potentially reduce risk when the market may be down, but still capitalize on stock gains. Can you find a way to manage risk in unpredictable markets? Watch the video at riskbuffer.com. Riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, at Lucia Capital Group. We believe there are three critical steps that should precede making any investment decision: education, advice, and planning. Education: learn about available options and expand your understanding of investment products. Advice: get guidance from experienced financial planning professionals who you feel understand your specific needs. Planning: choose a strategy that consistently supports your investment decisions. Where can you go for financial guidance? Lucia Capital Group invites you to build your wealth education at WealthEd.com. WealthEd.com features live and on-demand video programming featuring Lucia Capital Group advisors who will help educate you about investing, give guidance based on years of experience in the financial services industry, and help you build a strategic plan that integrates your investments. WealthEd.com, the site dedicated to wealth education. WealthEd.com. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member SIPC and a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com, so it's time to take care of your will or trust. LegalZoom makes it easy. They're not a law firm, so there's no office visits or paying expensive hourly rates. Instead, you could save over $100 with LegalZoom's will or trust estate plan bundles. And if you don't know whether a will or trust is right for you, don't worry. You'll work with an independent attorney available in 48 states to get advice on what you need. Do the right thing this month at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
So my daughter is off to college soon, and I got her some bedding from the company store, the good stuff, as she calls it. She thinks I'm being generous. I know better. See, college is not cheap, and sleep is hard to come by, which is important. So I'm doing whatever I can to assure she gets a good night's sleep. When she actually sleeps.
The company store has been perfecting a good night's sleep for over 100 years. Visit thecompanystore.com to see our full line of college bedding and more. Enter the code PILLOW and get 15% off your order plus free shipping.
Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Happy to have everybody here with us once again. Great questions so far. We appreciate it. Everybody taking part in the program. 877-PLANNER is our number. PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We got some more folks on hold. In fact, if we can get them both to hang on, it's two people with the same name in almost the same location. Very close. But we're going to start off, Professor Plum. Next call is Ed in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Ed.
Hello.
How can we help you today, my friend?
Two quick questions. First one, I lived with my ex for 15 years. Of those 15 years, we were married for 9.
Oops.
Does she have the ability to tap into my Social Security?
No. Only 9.
Not at all.
10 years. But even if she did, it wouldn't affect you.
Okay. Only because, like I said, we lived together for 15, so I just didn't know if they could count if Social Security counts those other 6 years or not.
Yeah, I wonder how they do that. Generally, they don't, right?
In states that recognize common law and you are acting as husband and wife in a common law situation, California does not.
Well, he's in Nevada.
I know. I don't know Nevada. Then they could potentially count some of the other years. But just living together does not cut it unless you're living together as husband and wife in a common law situation that is recognized by the state.
Okay, now, that marriage was in California.
Well, I mean, and you lived together in California for those 17 years or whatever it was?
For the 15 years, yeah.
Yeah, not going to make it. California doesn't recognize it.
Okay.
And so, great. But I mean, it's federal. She's not going to get any of it.
Okay, second question. I currently have my retirement in PERS that I'm collecting. If I decide to bite the bullet and get married again, will my new spouse be able, if we were to divorce, because I'm looking at worst case scenario here, would she be able to get my retirement that I'm already collecting prior to her and I marrying?
Well, I mean, divorce is a very tricky situation, and it kind of depends on who's better, your attorney or her attorney. And so if it's a very quick marriage, it's unlikely she's going to get very much of any of the pension that you earned before they were married. But once you've been married, that income is being used to support the communal household. That communal income going forward, there is, the longer it goes, there's more of a claim against that communal income that's being created that's being received while you're paying for the bills. And so this is where divorce gets very tricky. And I don't even think a divorce attorney will tell you exactly what's going to happen there. A divorce attorney would have a much better idea than I do. But if it's a very short marriage, and this is where in many cases prenups and postnuptial agreements come in play. And, you know,
got it.
And that's why those come into play. I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah. I just thought she wouldn't be able to get it since it was already earned income. Kind of like when you already own a house, you own the house, and she can't have any part of that because you've already owned it.
You don't ever say can't when it comes to divorce.
I think the better item is don't get married again.
Well, no, not that. I mean, and it also depends on time. So you own a house, you start living together. Now it's your house between the you're basically providing a certain level of comfort and support for her because you're allowing that individual to live in the house with you as a husband and wife. And the longer that goes, the more claim they have to continuation of that type of a lifestyle. And so that's and so unless you've got it spelled out with a prenup and then a postnup after they get married, don't ever say can't when it comes. They can't touch this, with the exception of Social Security. Don't say they can't have this or you can't have that, because it really does come down to my attorney's bigger than your attorney.
So, as you mentioned, prenup, are they really, do they really work?
They do work. Are they perfectly foolproof? No, but they do work.
And then you mentioned a post.
A postnup works better, but it's harder to get because you have to get them to sign it after you get married.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, Ed, thank you for the call. We have seen this
before.
Now, on the Social Security side, on the Social Security benefit of it, you're right. And it sounded like he may have known this. No matter what, even if the ex-spouse, they were only married.
They were married 9 years.
So that doesn't qualify.
Whether she's eligible for a benefit or not eligible for a benefit, it doesn't affect his benefit in any way, shape, or form. If she gets one, she gets one. She's not going to in this case, but it doesn't affect his benefit.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Let's move along to Ed in this one in Henderson, Nevada. Hello, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
My question is related to two stocks that I transferred from my IRA to my taxable account.
Okay.
My basis is the same, or is it changed?
Your basis is the value that you included in your taxes when you moved them out. So what you paid for them originally inside the IRA does not matter. Doesn't matter whether they went up a lot from the time you bought them or down a lot from the time you bought them inside the IRA. Your current basis, now that it's in your personal account, is the value included in your taxes when you pulled it out of the IRA.
So
that's where you're...
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, well, that was easy to solve.
Yeah.
So let's explain this again, though, for people. Because, yes, once again, you know, we've had this discussion on basis before where people are confused about how much you owe, what is my original basis, you know, what if I add back in. So let's explain how this works.
Well, and basis, you know, for people that don't understand financial terminology, which is most people, we're talking about basis from a tax standpoint. Where are you going to be from it? Where is the beginning point for determining gain or loss on a subsequent sale? If I just buy a stock, that's usually my basis, unless I reinvest more dividends or put more money into it. Inside of an IRA, the investment itself doesn't have a tax basis. Inside of an IRA, it's just a moot point. It's just money in an IRA. The IRA could potentially have basis if you have after-tax money contributed, but that's not the investment. The investment's totally different. But what he did was he took money out of his IRA, and instead of cashing out a security inside of his IRA and saying, send me the cash, he said, just transfer stock, you know, X number of shares of this stock and X number of shares of that stock. He transferred two stock, and he moved it over to his personal account. He never sold anything. So what is his basis? Well, the basis was the value that they put on each of those stocks when they moved it out of the IRA. He paid tax on the value of the transfer. That's his new basis going forward. Now he has a basis, and it wasn't what he paid for it. It's what he paid tax on. Because we're looking for a tax basis.
And that's the important thing. And, you know, this what he did was what a lot of people, I think, should or maybe don't know they can do when it gets to required minimum distribution time.
Right. And whether he did it for RMD purposes or not doesn't matter. But a lot of people, you know, when they get out to the required minimum distribution age, if they don't need the income to live off of, they're worried about potentially selling when the market's down and doing some other. You don't ever have to sell a security in an IRA just to satisfy a required minimum distribution. All you have to do is transfer it. The IRS doesn't care what you do with the money. They just want to create a taxable event.
Right. It's different colored money. I like to look at it this way. Inside the IRA, the money's all, I like to see it as a red color. You know, it hasn't been taxed yet. You take it out, you pay taxes on it, it's green. You're good to go from there on out. You got basis, right?
Right, but you had to pay taxes on it.
Yes,
to transfer
you did. And that's the way it works. All you're doing is saying, I have X number of dollars in my IRA or whatever it is. I am now going to add that to my income for the year. I mean, however much I want to take out of the IRA.
Yeah.
I'm not selling it. I'm not doing anything with it. I'm simply paying taxes on it.
Yep.
Now you own it personally, and you could put, you know, you could do Roth strategies, but the whole point, of course, is it's no longer in the IRA.
Now, you can't do a Roth strategy with an RMD.
No, you cannot. That's why I said you can think about Roth strategies. I stopped, you see. All right, 877-PLANNER. Yes, it is. Bucket Strategy Investing.
Some people willingly take on risk, like skydivers. They may find risk exhilarating. Most of us would rather avoid risk. When it comes to investing strategies, many investors want to keep their feet on the ground and reduce their exposure to risk. A risk buffer strategy through the purchase of an annuity contract is designed for investors who want the potential for growth when the markets are positive, potentially with some protection from losses when they're not. If you're concerned about stock market volatility and the threat of another market collapse, learn where a risk buffer strategy may fit in your investment mix. You may be able to cover losses to a certain extent when markets decline, but potentially enjoy a reasonable amount of growth when markets rise. Watch an informative short video to learn exactly how a risk buffer strategy works at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Lucia Capital Group asked what you feel are your greatest financial fears.
I'm worried about outliving our money.
Another market crash.
Taxes in our retirement.
While we may share concerns about saving, investing, and retiring, we each have a unique financial fingerprint and our own individual concerns.
We always worry about the national economy.
Inflation, healthcare costs.
Because every investor has their own challenges, Lucia Capital Group customizes a strategy for each client that addresses their specific goals and needs. At Lucia Capital Group, we understand fears of outliving your money, market volatility, and inflation. Learn how a bucket strategy can be designed to help address your concerns. Schedule a complimentary consultation. Call 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150 or click contact us at luciacap.com. That's luciacap.com.
Securities offered through Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, a subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, an affiliate of Lucia Wealth Services. The strategy involves investment subject to risk.
The safety oath. Repeat after me. I will safely bring safety to my facility and keep it safe. I will safely keep my people safe. I will put safety first in everything I do, and I will safely do so with Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Grainger's got over 100,000 safety products to help keep our facility safe and our people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America, red, white, and you.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1300. 1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy. I need some more school supplies for my son.
Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day.
Great. He needs lots of mechanical pencils.
Your son a big writer?
No, a big loser.
What?
He loses pencils, backpacks, everything.
There's gotta be another word we can use.
Back to school supplies are back for more. Staples has everything you need for back to school at low prices every day. Like Staples one subject notebooks for just 17 cents. Staples, make more happen.
While supplies last, ends 9/17, limit 30 in store, 10 online.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane.
You Top Gun. Right? That was yesterday. We played some Top Gun songs yesterday. Yeah. And it just occurred to me this was one of them. I mean, not written obviously for the movie or anything like that.
But they played it in the movie.
Yes.
The scene with Anthony Edwards and Meg Ryan and them all singing there
and
getting together.
And the little
together.
Kid. Again, there was another dumb Edwards. Scene.
It was iconic. It was just...
Okay,
it showed the human side.
Yeah, it does. Okay, whatever. Fine. Yes, it was Hollywood. What do you want? Get me back in the plane, will you? Let's see some fighter shots. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. Got some lines open right now. If you've got questions on anything we've talked about today or anything we haven't talked about today, give us a call. We will talk to you about them. You can also email us. We'll get to another email or two in just a moment. Wanted to say one more thing on this, which we may have mentioned last time we were talking about this last hour, but it bears repeating again, on the ownership rules. Now, for selling a home, you just said, you have to have owned it for 24 months out of the last 60, and you must have lived in it for 24 months out of the last 60 in order to qualify for $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 of capital gains exclusion. You could walk away with that amount of profit. Now, doesn't need to be concurrent. You could have lived in it and then owned it, or owned it and then lived in it.
That would be weird, though. I don't see how that one's going to work.
Well, I don't know why you would buy it and then move out, other than, I guess...
Buy it, sell it, and then move into it after the fact. I've never seen that one done, and I'd have to read the regs.
Well, we had that call last hour. Didn't they buy it, and then they wound up renting it from the people who had sold it, or that who had bought it from them?
Right, but they were selling it as their primary residence after living in it for...
Yeah.
Where they own it, sell it, and then move into it as a rental. I'm not sure if they could then go back to the previous tax return 3 years earlier and say, oh, take that gain off my tax return.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably it doesn't happen. But anyway, it's there for you. Now, okay, so $250,000 if you're single or married or filing as a single taxpayer.
Single
person. $500,000 if you're married. Now, a married couple, the home does not have to be in both married people's
title
names.
Has to just be in one individual, as long as they file a joint return in the year of sale.
Right. So, but
they both have to meet the use test.
Yes, and the use test means that they both have to live there, occupy that.
Right. This is more common in separate property states than it is in states like California and others that are community property states, where there are separate assets, where there's there is either tenancy by entirety or joint tenancy, typically with rights of survivorship. But there's multiple owners, or it may be separate property, but everybody lives in that one house. And as long as they file a joint return at that time of the year of sale, they can get the $500,000 exemption. But if it's a separate property issue and they file separate returns and the person who was not on title is filing a separate return, then it becomes problematic. They can't take the exemption because they weren't on title and they're not filing a joint return.
Right. So once again, this all goes back to the use and the ownership rules, which, and really, if you have if you don't have more than $250,000 a gain and only one person...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter from that standpoint.
But there are places where $250,000 a gain is way too small. I mean, we've seen people in the Bay Area selling properties where even with the exemption, with an exclusion from being a rental at one point, they still can use the entire $500,000 a gain exemption because their gain was like $1.1 million. Some of these places have got some serious amounts of gain in them.
Yes. Now, if you do happen to go over that gain, it is a capital gains.
And it's a long-term capital gain.
It's long-term capital gain because you've obviously had to have lived there.
I was talking about somebody I met the other day down in La Jolla, California, that they bought their property back in the 60s. and they paid, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars, a lot of money back then. But now it's worth like $6 million, well over the $500,000 of gain, even though they've added to it over the years, improved it, and they didn't improve it by $6 million worth. And so they have a very large capital gain if they were to sell it. Yes, they can exclude $500,000 because the married couple has lived in it for the last 40 plus years, 50 years. But the reality is they're not selling it. And they're just going to, unfortunately, wait until one of the other spouses passes away, get a new basis, and then the surviving spouse can sell it.
Yeah, okay, well, here's another point, too, that you bring up. I'm glad you brought that up. You may have owned a home for a long, long time, and you and your spouse have been living there for, you know, 40 years or whatever it is, and you have a gain that's well in excess of that $500,000. You're talking about when somebody passes away, there's a step up in basis. But how does this work with married couples?
Well, but that we're talking about a community property state, where the entire property received a step up. If we have a joint tenancy situation in a non-community property state, only the half of the property that was owned by the person who passed away receives a step up. But it obviously transfers over to the surviving spouse with joint tenancy with rights of survivorship. But maybe there's still a lot of gain left in the surviving spouse's half of the property. And so more than the $250,000, and the spouse wants to sell it. There is a provision that the surviving spouse can sell it and use the deceased's exemption and raising their surviving spouse exemption up to $500,000 if the sale happens within 2 years of the date of death. And so it can still receive the $500,000 exemption, even though one of the parties has passed away, even though there was a step up in basis on a portion of it, and still offset quite a bit of gain.
And that's in separate property states you're talking
Typically,
about.
Typically, that's what we're seeing, because in community property states, most of the time it's owned as community property, everything gets stepped up.
So let's just take a very quick example. By the way, 877-PLANNER if you have questions on this. You have I bought a house for $100,000 in 1960 or something, way back.
In Manhattan.
Okay, right. Okay, now it's worth $2,100,000 now.
Yeah. And, okay. But it was owned between a husband and wife. Each owned a joint tenancy, rights of survivorship. So husband owned $1 million worth of it, or $1,050,000 worth of it.
Well,
you know, you've messed me up.
All right. Can you make it?
Whatever. Husband owned half of it.
Yes.
The wife owned half of it. He died. She inherits his half. So she's got now a $2 million plus. The $100,000 could be taken up in selling
expense. Well, it was $100,000 to $2,100,000.
Yeah. And all so right. His half steps up to the full million of his basis on death. His value on death was $1 million, half of the $2 million. She now has a basis of $1,050,000. And obviously if she sells at that point, there's going to be a very large tax. There's a gain of $1 million. And she has an exemption of $250,000.
Because she's now single.
But if she sells it within 2 years, she can actually use the deceased's $250,000 exemption as well. And exclude $500,000 of that $1 million plus of gain, rather than just $250,000 of the gain.
Now, I'm getting this backwards. In community property states,
the whole thing would have stepped up.
Would have stepped up, and then there could be a sale, and absolutely no capital gains tax would be.
It could have grown another $250,000 after that, and still exempt from the tax.
I'm assuming that it's not.
Community property is a little bit easier to deal with. Separate property is tough.
It really is.
Those 39 states have issues.
And one more thing, because this came up with our previous caller, I think I brought it up. The basis on a property, on the sale of a home, has nothing to do whatsoever with the amount that is owed on the loan. Let's make that clear right here.
I mean, unfortunately, we saw people back in the real estate downturn, 2009, 10, 11. They may have owned their homes, you know, for 40 years, 30 years. They paid $100,000 for a house, and it was now worth $400,000. Or maybe even more. Maybe it was worth $800,000. But through the years, they've borrowed against it. They've borrowed against it, and they owe $700,000. Their gain is not $100,000. Their gain is the difference between their basis, what they paid for it, and what their improvements were, and the sale proceeds. So they still have a tax, even though they only had a very small, if any, proceeds coming from the sale. It happened more on rental properties than it did on primary residence, thanks to the $500,000 of gain exclusion. But it still happened. The loan, it doesn't matter. When you buy a house, I buy a house for $250,000. I put $50,000 down and I borrow $200,000. The reality is, I gave the person who sold it to me walked away with $250,000 of cash. they receive cash. Where the money came from is not the issue. The money is cash when the sale is completed. Mm-hmm. I borrowed it. I'm responsible for paying it back. But that has nothing to do with my basis in what I paid for the property. Right. What I paid for the property was $250,000 in this example. The fact that I only had 50 of it of my own money and I used the bank's money, I got to pay that money back. And so paying the money back doesn't increase my basis or decrease my basis.
No. If it did, I would suggest everybody would
borrow
all the way up to the limit that you can and then walk away with whatever gain is left over.
The gain has nothing to do with the loan. And when we borrow the money out of it, so I paid $100,000 for the place back 20, 30 years ago, and it's now worth $1 million, and I borrow $900,000, and I take it out, and I go buy another building. I go blow it on a vacation. Heck of a vacation. I go do whatever it is, and then I sell it. I only get $100,000 of proceeds on the sale, but my gain, and they're saying, but I don't have the money. Yes, you do. You took $900,000 out of it already. You've already received your gain. And that's the way they're looking at it.
That is the way it is. There's something called basis, which is what your tax basis is based on. Your basis is tax basis is what your tax is based on.
They're going to make it difficult, don't they?
They really do. Okay. Emails, more of your phone calls. We got a little bit of room on the phones. In fact, we got room now. We got a little bit of time. 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, the Brain Trust, standing by to answer your questions when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing.
Are you worried we may see another stock market drop like the 2008 collapse? In a new video, Ray Lucia Jr. comments on investor concerns.
They're worried about what happens when this bull market eventually ends and how severe of a downturn there may be for them in the future.
If you're looking for some potential protection from volatility, learn about the risk buffer strategy by watching a free video now at riskbuffer.com.
For those investors who want to take some risk off the table of their longer-term portfolios, a risk buffer strategy may be appropriate for you.
Depending on the investor, there are many ways this strategy may potentially be added to your investment mix. Please take 10 minutes to watch a free video in which Ray Lucia Jr. explains the risk buffer strategy and how it may work for you at riskbuffer.com. That's riskbuffer.com. A risk buffer strategy involves purchase of a variable annuity, which is a long-term investment product. Guarantees are based on the claims-paying ability of the issuer, subject to their terms and conditions. Ray Lucia Jr. is the CEO of Lucia Securities LLC, member FINRA SIPC, and affiliate of Lucia Capital Group. This is a special invitation for business owners or human resources managers representing companies of 50 or more employees. The retirement planning strategists at Lucia Capital Group will travel to your city and present a customized private retirement planning seminar for your employees. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes have spoken to thousands of individuals about planning for retirement and addressed their concerns about outliving their money, stock market volatility, managing taxes, company-sponsored retirement benefit plans, and more. Now they're available to speak to your organization. This is a convenient way for your employees to get their retirement questions answered and learn how a plan can be designed to integrate all of their retirement resources. Call Lucia Capital Group to schedule a private retirement planning meeting. Call 800-644-1150. That's 800-644-1150. Rick Plum and Terry Keyes are registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities LLC, a registered broker-dealer member SIPC. Lucia Securities is a wholly owned subsidiary of Lucia Capital Group, a registered investment advisor. All investments are subject to risk, including loss of principal.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, Control, I'm kind of bored.
I think you cut out, QL1. It sounded like you said you were bored.
That's affirmative, Control.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
All right, you cut out for sure this time. Did you say I can get a mortgage approval in minutes?
That's right, Control. Minutes. Whether you're purchasing a new house or refinancing your existing home, Rocket Mortgage securely pulls your pay stubs and bank statements to build you a custom mortgage solution so you get exactly what you want.
Wow, that is exciting.
Yep, definitely better than months of dehydrated ice cream and powdered orange drink.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button, get mortgage.
Rocket.
Visit for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Hey, Bob, how's business? Is the new website helping?
Not good. I can't figure out how to get the website finished. How did you do it?
Easy. I called Web.com. They built my website for free. Then they promoted it on all the search engines.
Like Google, Yahoo, and Bing?
Exactly. And Web.com has helped grow my business so much, I had to bring on new staff.
Call now. 1-800-535-9652. That's 1-800-535-9652.
There is no upfront charge for building the website, after which the ongoing fee applies. Rights to the website are relinquished upon cancellation unless otherwise purchased.
There's a new answer for people in need of serious pain relief. Lidocare has created a one-of-a-kind pain relief patch that blocks pain for up to 8 hours. With the only non-water-based lidocaine patch on the market, Lidocare uses patent-pending technology to desensitize aggravated nerves for an odor-free, ultra-flexible, dry, and light solution to pain. The Lidocare Pain Patch from the makers of Blue Emu. For long-lasting relief, you can wear. Available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We've got some room on the phones, and we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to go right to, back to the phone calls. If you're on hold, we'll take care of everybody. So if we don't get to you before the top of the hour, stick around, because Professor Plum is more than willing to work overtime.
Thank you, John.
You didn't know that, did you?
I guess I was willing to.
You are, absolutely. I'm telling you. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. We've got to get some trivia and some more emails in just a second. Gracie is up next in Las Vegas. Hi, Gracie.
Hi. Well, I did explain to the gentleman what happened, but let me explain this.
Yeah, please.
Okay, I went to work. My husband put this pool in my backyard. I did not want a pool. I had 5 children, right? The pool starts at 4 feet, and it goes to 14 feet,
wow.
Right? And I actually buried it.
Wow.
So now I'm getting older, and I'm thinking, you know, that's what I want to do with this house. I have this big, gigantic... it's got good dirt in it, and I do have 3 trees growing in it, right? But I was wondering, how much would that affect my sale of the house?
Oh, I mean, from a pricing standpoint, you'd have to talk to a realtor in your area. She didn't take the pool out. She just brought in bulldozers and trucks and buried it and then planted trees on top of it. So the pool is still there, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
You're gonna have to talk to a realtor
about
that.
Well, wait a minute though. So the pool was the pool was an improvement.
Well, yeah, but she just
but
wants to know how is it going to affect her sales price.
It was an improvement, but when you have 5 children and you're working, it's not an improvement.
No, yeah. I understand that.
There's
yes.
a lot of people that have pools that would agree with
yes,
you on that.
Yes, no, we're following you on that completely, Gracie.
She's not asking about basis or anything like that. She's asking about sales price. How is the fact that there is a buried pool on her property going to affect the sales price? And I have no idea.
Well,
some people might look at it as, hey, there's a pool there. We just need to empty it out and we can redo it. Or some people are like, oh, that's we really need to do it the right way and pull it out, pull everything out and get rid
of
the concrete.
So what, can you still see it? You could just, but it's just filled with dirt? Is that the deal, Gracie?
Yes, you can see it. It's really pretty. I mean, it looks nice even with the dirt in it. I have a nice big tree and I get big...
It looks like a nice big planter now.
Yeah.
You'd have to. I have no complaints.
You have to talk to a realtor in your area.
I don't know how that might affect it. Honestly,
but on
Gracie,
the other side, even if it does affect it, it's not going to affect it by enough money to warrant taking it out.
No. Did you pay a lot to have this thing filled up?
No.
Well, you know what happened? I went to work and came home, and it was a pool full of water. See, I had been telling my husband, we will not do this, right? And I had it for a couple of years. Then my granddaughter went out the doggy door, right? And I called up a friend of mine and told him I want this pool filled tomorrow, right? And he said, no problem. I didn't tell my husband, just like he didn't tell me about putting it in. When he came home, he found this. Three trees growing in the backyard, right? I told him, no way am I going to have to live with this.
So the neighbor just filled it in.
Like going down the park. It's about a five-minute walk from my house, so I don't need this thing to, you know.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, Gracie,
talk to a realtor.
You know, yeah, talk to a realtor, and I'll tell you what, I mean, as long as you tell them what it is, they can see what it is. It's really up to the buyer how much, you know, they're willing to do. I mean, some people don't want pools, you know. They see a beautiful
home.
Well,
it's expensive
and
to maintain.
So, Gracie, it's not a question of how much you're going to lose. It's a question of, is the right buyer going to come in and say, man, I mean, I am sure glad that that's not a pool. So you may be able to find somebody. That's probably the best we can do. If you have any other questions, hold on, Gracie. I appreciate that. Very entertaining call. And I like her. I like she's got, you know, gumption and all that. I think that's – well, she came home. The husband had put a pool in, and she said, where did this come
from? That was quick.
That was kind of quick.
Especially one that's 14 feet deep.
I wonder, did she wonder when there was a big hole in the backyard what they were going to do with it?
That's a very deep pool. I mean, you'd be doing big-time high dives on that one.
Well, it went from 4 feet to 14 feet.
Yeah, and 4 feet's deep for a shallow end.
Yeah, it is. Usually it's about
three and a half. But, yeah. I mean, yeah, they don't make them – they don't even like making them 8 feet deep anymore. I mean, 8 feet was kind of this eight and a half, nine maybe when it was a standard when I was a kid.
Yeah, seven was what I
But that's
I
when
saw,
we had diving boards, too. You're not allowed to have a diving board.
You can't have diving boards anymore?
I don't think you can put a dive – at least not in our neighborhoods. I mean, in California, I think diving boards are outlawed. You can't put them on. No. I have not seen a new pool with a diving board. Now, they fake it by creating rocks and other things to jump off of, but there's definitely no springboarding action going on. I remember we had some pools where that springboard could put you way up in the air.
Well, depending on how big you were at the same
time.
Well,
that's
time
why you got
well.
Two or three guys to do it at once.
Well, yeah, you could do that. We had, our neighbors had a slide. You know, you climb up the slide. And it
Slides are still popular.
But we didn't slide down it. We stood on the top of the slide because it was quite high and just jumped into the deep end of the pool that way.
Had one of those curved ones, so
yes,
it was close
it was.
Enough.
Yes, yeah. That's
our neighbors are putting in a pool, and it's a vanishing edge. And the slide, they're building it. I was like, where's the slide go? Because the slide goes down the hill.
Yes.
It goes into another pool below it that's being formed by the vanishing edge.
Wow.
It's sweet.
Tell you what, I mean, they've come a long way since then.
Oh, pools are incredible.
All right.
And they're expensive. And they're difficult to maintain.
Well, and that's the thing with Gracie. Gracie was asking, how much do you think this would affect the value of the home? I honestly think, because there are some people that love a home, and they walk in, they say, oh, there's a pool in the backyard. I don't want the maintenance. I'm afraid of, you know, liability.
Right now in the Southwest with the drought that the Southwest is having, pools are, in some cases, a drawback.
Well, there are. And some people just don't want, you know, when I was a kid, I had to clean it every Saturday morning. And
I still want a pool.
You still want a pool?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have one?
I do not.
Okay. Well, you know what? I mean, Gracie had one. Well, never mind.
But I have the key to the fence between my house and my neighbor's house, and so.
Okay, so that works too.
Next best thing of having your own is having a neighbor that has one that they let you use all the time.
Because you don't have to vacuum it out, is what you're saying, right?
Works for me.
Hey, coming up on this program tomorrow, among many of the topics, we're going to be talking about Social Security taxation. We get a lot of questions on Social Security, and taxation is one of them. Some people aren't aware that Social Security can be taxed, and it has nothing to do with how old you are, by the way. That's the other sort of myth that's floating around, that once you hit full retirement age, or once you hit age 70 or 70 and a half, I've heard that Social Security is no longer taxable. Professor Plum, that is not the case.
It has nothing to do with age.
Nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with how much other income you have besides Social Security. So we're going to talk about that, tell you how to perhaps plan around that. It's important to keep planning, and that's why we talk about that on this program. Didn't get to the trivia. We'll try to get to the trivia. We'll push it to another day. It was a good one today. Good one today. But we'll push it off till tomorrow. In the meantime, if you want to talk to the Brain Trust off the air, and I include Professor Rick Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, you can reach them at, how about this, their off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.